You're listening to Vatican Radio. On Thursday, April the 25th, people in countries across the globe are taking part in a wide range of activities to mark the annual World Malaria Day. These activities look back at the remarkable progress that the global development community has made in fighting malaria, but also aim to give momentum to investments to eradicate this child killer disease, which is both preventable and curable. Linda Bordoni asked James Whiting, Executive Director of the charity Malaria No More UK, why it's so important to mark World Malaria Day.
Well, let's start off by talking a little bit about Malaria No More UK. What is the organisation all about?
Well, we were actually set up 4 years ago with the goal of ending suffering and deaths from malaria. So it was a pretty big thing to aim for, but it's something that is increasingly becoming possible. We're seeing deaths decreasing in Africa by about a third in the last 10 years, and there's a real prospect that we could defeat a disease that has killed more people in history than any other in our lifetimes. So that was why we set up Malaria No More UK.
On April the 25th, people across the globe will mark World Malaria Day. What is the significance of marking a day such as this? Why is it important?
Well, it's important because it enables us really to shout from the rooftops that really no one should die from a disease that costs a pound to treat and £5 to provide a net to prevent. And yet, you know, it's a disease that when 90% of people who die in Africa are children under five, and for the want of £1, I mean, I speak both as Malaria No More UK, but also as a father of two children under five, I cannot imagine, even contemplate what it must be like for life to be that precarious. And really, you know, we have it in our power to stop this.
I read the facts on your webpage. You yourself were mentioning that a child dies from malaria every minute, that's what I read. And you said that deaths from malaria at the same time have been cut in the past years by about a third. How can these two figures go together?
If I can put it this way, 10 years ago we were saying that a child dies every 45 seconds. And now we're saying a child dies every minute, because actually 10 years ago there were 1 million children dying every year from malaria. And it's now down to just over 500,000, about 600,000. So that's an incredible cut in the last 10 years when you think of all those young lives. What we want to do now is make sure that, you know, it becomes a child every 2 minutes, a child every hour, and eventually never. And that is possible. That's what's so exciting and such a huge challenge.
I read also that this global malaria campaign is at a critical time in its history. Why?
Well, I think like any huge campaign, it has had a really big kind of launch over the last few years. Fantastic support from British government, American government, Gates Foundation, people like that. But it's at a point now where it has to sustain. And that's always the challenge with great campaigns like this. How do you keep them going? And the thing about malaria that's so critical in that is that if you do not keep your foot on the pedal, then it comes back, and it comes back twice as hard. So you really have to. If you're going to say, right, we're going to end it, then you have to do that. And we're seeing countries now, countries like Sri Lanka, where there were millions of people affected by malaria every year. And last year it was less than 100. So, you know, this is doable, and country by country we're beginning to eliminate it. It's very exciting, but it takes an awful lot of effort and a real kind of global effort by governments, people, businesses, everybody.
Now, when you say we are decreasing the rate of the infections of malaria, is that happening mostly thanks to new drugs, or is it because of a change in behaviour?
As with most of these things, it's a combination of things. I think the thing that probably has driven it most is the fact that mosquito nets have been distributed, particularly in Africa, enormously in the last few years, and that has made a huge difference. But also there are new drugs, there are new diagnostic tests, there are a whole lot of things coming onto the scene that are enabling us to push this forward. So there's a lot of very good and incredibly important research and development going on, because we do know, of course, that, you know, malaria is a almost uniquely powerful disease in its ability to change form and and defeat the latest things. So we do have to keep the R&D going.
I was reading of the survey that you conducted and of how ignorant so many people are as regards to how you do get malaria.
We conducted this survey with our partners Panadol, and maybe we shouldn't be so surprised that people are ignorant. I mean, after all, the name itself, malaria, means bad air. And for many, many thousands of years, that's what people thought. You see, in Dickens, it's called ague. And it was only in the late 19th century that a British scientist, Ronald Ross, discovered the link between the malaria parasite and mosquitoes. So, it is still interesting that a quarter of Brits believe you can contract malaria from dirty drinking water. I mean, what worries us is that there are an increasing number of Brits who are traveling abroad and traveling to malarial countries. And, you know, we take the opportunity of World Malaria Day to implore them to go to their GP, to go to the Foreign Office travel website, and to really find out what it is that they need to take. It's not difficult. It's only pills and perhaps some mosquito repellent, but you must take them because it is a matter of life and death.
I also read here that the UK is at the forefront of this campaign, which has the potential, you say, to go down in history as one of the greatest humanitarian achievements ever. Now, your organisation is involved both in harnessing public support and in garnering commitments from political parties. How is that going?
Well, the UK, I mean, this is what has been really extraordinary. I think all parties in the UK at the last election signed up to making malaria one of their top priorities. It was started under the Labour government, and it's been absolutely continued and increased under the coalition government. So it's a fantastic thing that I think the UK should be really proud of, that all parties have signed up to this. And they've given it enormous backing. I mean, only today, DFID has announced that they're investing another 4 million bed nets in the DRC, actually. DFID, the Department for International Development, so part of the government. And they really have been quite outstanding. If you go internationally and you talk to, say, the US government and people like that, they talk about how amazing Britain has been. And it's not just the British government. It's actually companies, it's research, it's people like Imperial College, it's the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. You know, Britain really has, ever since Ronald Ross first found the link with malaria, Britain's taken a really leading role in this campaign.
Now, how should we be celebrating World Malaria Day? What can we do as individuals?
Well, I would obviously urge people, please, if you want to support the malaria campaign, to go to our website. It's www.malarianomore.org.uk/minutesmatter to see some of the work that we're doing with Panadol as well, which is all about raising awareness. We just need to get the word out there about malaria and the fact that we can do something about it. So if anybody can do anything to help in that way, then we'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with us. We're a small charity and we need all the support that we can get. But also, please, if you're going abroad, do take care. Do go to your doctor. Do consult the Foreign Office website. And just check what it is that you need to do before you go abroad. But, have a wonderful holiday too.
That makes sense. Now, I read here that over 90% of all malaria deaths occur in Africa amongst the poorest of the poor. This is probably an unusual question for you, but Pope Francis continues to express a preferential option for the poor. Do you have any hopes in this regard about his voice as a moral leader?
Oh, more than hopes. What we need in the malaria campaign is our global leaders. This is something that has taken more lives than any other disease in history. And yet we actually have the ability in the next 20 or 30 years to end it. That's incredible. And I hope that would be something that, you know, Pope Francis might think that that's something for him to really kind of get behind, because it does affect the poorest people in the world. And, you know, it affects, and within them, it affects children under 5 more than anybody else and pregnant women. So, you know, it would be so inspiring if Pope Francis got behind the global malaria campaign, and he would join other faith leaders that we know who have already, I mean, Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was wonderful in his support. It would be absolutely fantastic.
James Whiting is Executive Director of the charity Malaria No More UK.